You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
House Church, we meet here every Sunday, also every Wednesday for regular service. And so you need more information, speak to one of the ushers. Also, if you're a visitor here, we do have a gift bag that we would like to donate to your worthy cause of yourself. Amen. And so take a gift bag before you leave. They will be in the foyer, and I'm sure you will appreciate that. Amen. Yesterday we had a good time, the youth, and under the guidance of some of the youth leaders, really put together a wonderful event, music, drama, whatever else they were doing. Amen. How many know it was very good? Let's give them a round of applause. Amen. And most of all, we saw people give their life to Jesus. Amen. And so that's what we thank God for. That's what we're all about. I like that guy. He was lively, man. God, he made us look like we were dead. So he didn't like that, man. Okay. You're good as well. Amen. Praise God. Just saying. Good to great. That's all I'm going to say. Hallelujah. We're in a series at the moment called Air Force. And so we're talking about spiritual warfare, tactical spiritual warfare. And we looked at last week that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many know that's the truth? Yes. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many know that's difficult? Because sometimes, how many know you just want to get into a good fight with somebody? Come on, let's be honest. And so you're pretending like, no, not me, Pastor. Come on. Some of you have been fighting this week. But I ain't going to say no names. Hallelujah. The names have been changed to protect the guilty. Hallelujah. But listen, that's the real deal. But why am I preaching this? It's because we are all involved in spiritual warfare. You are involved in spiritual warfare. And I said to you last week, this is not spooky, but we're talking about the devil and demons here. We're talking about battles in the air, in the spiritual realm, that all of us are going to have to go through. And you may be like, well, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm not this. I'm not this. That's fine. Well, it's not fine, but you're still involved. Because one or two things, there is only two positions in the spiritual warfare. This is not black against white, rich against poor, male against female, brother against sister, husband against wife. No, this is not that. This battle is basically light against darkness. God, the kingdom of God against the kingdom of hell. And they only have two positions. Either you are a slave of hell. That means the devil is just telling you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and how many times to do it a week. Or you are a soldier for God, fighting against the demonic powers of this age. If you are not a Christian in this place, can I say something to you? And I say it to you with humility and kindness. Listen, I wasn't a Christian for 22 years. I came into the church jacked up, busted, broken, everything. So I ain't judging nobody. But the reality is that if you're not a Christian, the devil is pushing your buttons, man. He's the one that gives you the appetite. He creates the world, the entertainment. You buy it, you do it. He's creating the whole thing. God wants to free you today. God wants to free you today. So we're doing this for the next 4 weeks, and so we're going to be battle ready. Yes. Battle ready. Yes. And so Air Force. Okay, let's get into our text. It's 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. The Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ." Now, the bit I like, I'm going to repeat it. It says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty authority in God for pulling down strongholds. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your Holy Spirit to come down in this service. We pray, Father, you would speak to us. I pray, Father, that, Lord, it will be more than my words and my wisdom, my eloquence, Father, that would determine the results of this service, but it will be in your Spirit, Father, that you would save, that you would redeem, that you would rescue, that you would strengthen, that you would encourage. I pray right now, Father, that you would tear down strongholds. Show your people, Father, the weapons that they have. And Father, that you have already beaten the enemy and they already have the victory. We do not fight for the victory. We fight from a position of victory. We all God's people said,
Amen.
All God's people said,
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare. That's the title of this sermon. And so I want to start by saying this, is that there is a misconception upon Christianity, and I had this misconception before I was a Christian, is that when you become a Christian, you become more passive. How many have ever had that misconception that when you become a Christian, you're going to become more passive? I went to churches before I was saved, and I saw the how many ever seen that? Well, I don't remember what it was called on a Sunday. Praise and worship Sunday. What was it called? Songs of Praise, that program. Listen, that program was whack as the day is long. I hated that program. I'll be like, oh, this is depressing, man. It's bad enough. It's Sunday. Everything was closed. Bad enough I'm going to be going to work or school the next day, and now I have to watch this. The best thing about Sundays for me was the Smurfs in the afternoon. You guys don't even know what that thing is, man. But I'd watch the Smurfs, and then later on, after dinner, there'd be songs of praise on. And it'd be like somewhere in the farm, somewhere, and it's like, yes, I had my sheep, and I went there. And I'm like, these people don't relate to me. And they'd be singing songs and doing things. And every time I went to church, now listen, I know there are people outside of London, they love that. That relates to them. Praise God. Keep it on for them. I'm not against it. I'm just saying it didn't relate to me. And many times when I went to church, I see people that were passive, especially men. Men that were passive, man. Men that would just be wearing like these mad sandals with socks. That's wrong. You don't wear sandals with socks. That's wrong. I was going to say that's demonic, but I won't go that far. But that's just wrong. You do not wear sandals with socks. Now, I understand nowadays. I don't mean the sandals like those ones that come across. I'm talking about when you wear like the buckle ones. You know the one I'm talking about? Like, and you got a buckle there. That's what I'm talking about. Those ones. Those leather ones. I think you buy them in Clarks or something. Listen, I back in the day, and you know, if your pastor was old, listen, back in the day, I was into the Jordan. I remember when Jordan came out. That's what I want, and I'm coming to church. I'm like, no, passive. Men that just seem passive. And I was like, no, and I'd go to church, and there was nothing in the church that attracted me. Because I never saw them speak about Jesus as the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who Jesus is. And yes, Jesus went to the cross. Not passively to the cross. Jesus triumphantly marched to the cross. He says, listen, I lay down my life. Nobody takes it from me. Jesus was still totally in control. And so this is the misconception many times, that when you become a Christian, you become passive. I want to say this, is that I disagree, and I strongly disagree. I strongly, strongly disagree. Because when you become a Christian, I believe you become more militantly minded. See, I'm dealing with some business here, and some of you, I'm going to change the way you think about the Bible, about God, and about spiritual warfare. You become more militantly minded. I just threw these scriptures out, where the Bible says, war a good warfare. That's militant. The Bible says that. That's in your Bible. War a good warfare. Fight the good fight. Be a good soldier. Endure hardship as a good soldier. We used to have, we made t-shirts, good soldier. Remember that?
Yeah.
We used to bring those, listen, we need to bring them back. Good soldier, this is what we were. And this is what the Bible is telling us. Listen, when you become a Christian, you become more militantly minded. You become more engaged. And in our text, it says this, the weapons of our warfare. Our warfare. The Christian has a war.
Yes,
yes. Listen, you better start warring. Look at someone and say, war.
War.
That's right, war. W-A-R. That's what we're doing, war. We are war. War. This is war talk. said the weapons of our warfare. This is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church that he pioneered. And he said, listen, guys, you're in a war. You're in a war. Shake off that passiveness. You're in a war. See, if you're passive, that means you have no weapons. And this is what many people believe, that as a Christian, we don't have any weapons. As a Christian, we're unarmed. If you're passive, it means you've got no weapons. That means you're unarmed. That means you're unable to fight. That means you become a victim of whatever the devil throws at you. The devil is kicking you all around Wandsworth, and you ain't got nothing to do. You can do nothing about it. This is the Bible. Listen, the Bible is showing us now. See, if you're passive, you've got no weapons, you're unarmed, you're unable to fight, you're going to be defeated. Defeated. The war is over even before it begun. How many Christians are defeated? How many people say they believe in God and defeated? Listen, defeated in their spirit. Some Christians are living for God, but they're defeated in their spirit. I'm just hanging on. I'm just hanging on. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot. I'm gonna carry on. They're just dragging themselves through life and church. Defeated. No wonder no one don't want to get saved in your workplace. No wonder no one don't want to get saved in your family. No wonder none of your friends don't want to come to church. I wouldn't want to come to church if that's what you're going to give me. Come church and be like me. Defeated. No, thank you. Some people are defeated in their own morality. How many times have people, I'd never do that. Within a month, you're doing it. Every day. Twice a day. You say, I'd never do it. I'd never do that. How many times have you done what you said you would never do? Imagine we was to put on the screen when you said, I'd never do that. And then fast forward, you doing it. Oh, my days. The place would be empty. I'd be the first one out. Let's keep it real. Defeated. Why? Because there's no weapons. They're passive. See, the Bible says, see, the many people that they read this, and they like, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And so the way they read it is, we don't have weapons. No, it didn't say we didn't have weapons. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what it's saying is, when it says that but there, when you look at the language structure of what's being said, it's saying, you don't have carnal weapons, yeah, but you do have weapons. Can I say to you today, every Christian should be armed and dangerous. Some of you are looking at me like, this, where is he going with this, man? Yeah. When hell looks at you, when the devil looks at you, when any demon looks at you, he should see a Christian who's armed and dangerous. I'm armed. That's what it should be. See, some of you are getting scared. Where's he going? A Christian should be packing. See, real Christians are armed. Pastor, yeah, what? He says the weapons. He uses the word weapon. He uses the word weapon. It's there. Look, for the weapons. This is Bible. This is your Bible. This is not me. Pastor, we understand with you. You know, you're kind of militant. No, I didn't put that in there. God put that in there. Actually, it's God that put the militancy in me. It says the weapon. Now, I want to ask you a question. Think about this now. If you was reading this today, we are reading it today, but think about it now. You're reading this today, right now, and if I said to you, let's take it out of the Bible, let's just put it in another context, and I said, yeah, bro, hey, I heard somebody running the bank with a weapon. He's packing. What would you think he had? A gun. Wouldn't that be what we thought? We would think he had a gun. See, you know, in our country, most of us have never had a gun. I ain't never had a gun. I never owned a gun, never shot a gun, only in a range. I've never, you know, in my house. Most of us have never had a gun. We've never seen a gun. I know we've got some born-again gangsters here, but praise God. Hallelujah. But I ain't one of those that tries to embroider my testimony. Yeah, when I was in the world, I used to be. Listen, no. When I was in the world, I was just a joke. That's me. That's it. I was a joke. I was a bum. I was a wasteman. And God saved me. Praise God. That's my testimony. But listen. Most of us, because in the UK we don't know about guns. You go to America, that's a whole different ball game. A whole different kettle of fish. I remember going there when I was a little kid. My mom sent me over there going there. I remember at the airport seeing these guys. And I'm like, tiny, man. I could fit in your pocket. I'm tiny. And I'm there looking at these big guns on the side of this big guy. And you go to America, they're into guns, man. America love guns. Love it. I think, I'm not going to say it. But I remember going to, even the other day when I went to Tucson for the youth invasion thing, when I preached there in September, a guy come up to me, he never knew me. Nice guy, his fellowship. He said, do you want to come shoot some guns? yeah, because he knew I was from England. Because some of you have shot guns. Listen, when people go to Tucson, from whenever the guys go to Tucson, they're like, yeah, we heard they got guns. They want to shoot guns. Because we don't understand about that. And I declined the offer, thank you. Because I could go spend, a day with Pastor Warner in the Bible with the man of God. I was like, hey, listen, that's no debate, man. You can, weapons of our warfare, not carnal. But we in the UK, most of us don't really think about this. We don't have weapons, not those type of weapons. But I want you to think about this now. A soldier without a weapon. Think of a soldier without a weapon. A soldier without a weapon will do no damage to his enemy. Imagine that. We send a soldier into battle. We send our soldiers into battle. I heard the other day there was Prince Charles. He was, talking about this, talking about that. I mean, I heard about that, his letters, and we spoke a little bit about that the other day. And one of the things he was saying, we're sending the soldiers in, and they're not armed properly. And, I'm neither here nor there, man. Prince Charles, say what he wants, do what he wants. It's nothing to do with me. I'm more concerned about King Jesus than Prince Charles. But imagine sending in soldiers, and they got no guns. We're sending them into battle. Listen, you're sending them to die. They're just going to die. They ain't going to last. That's what you're doing. They're not going to hurt the enemy at all. And so you're a soldier, but you don't have a weapon. One, you're not going to damage your enemy. Two, you're not going to last very long. This could be, think about the Christian soldier that has no weapon. The Christian soldier that has no weapon, one, does very little damage against his enemy. Two, he doesn't or she doesn't last very long. And that's how many Christians are today. Running around talking about Jesus, talking about church, big Bible, picture of, I don't know, something on the wall, Jesus, Sacred Heart, maybe that Footsteps poem. How many have ever seen that Footsteps? He was walking in the desert and he saw, where was you? Okay, I'm not against it, I'm just saying. You got a Bible, you know, coffee table, and open up to the 23rd Psalm. Problem is, you're not backing, man. Problem is, you're unarmed. And you're doing very little damage against hell. The devil ain't scared of you at all, man. Devil doesn't business. Listen, you go walk right up to the devil. He's like, you do nothing to him because you have no weapons. And listen, when it comes into a real fight, the devil just blows your head off. Just like, whoa, yeah, that's what it is. Blows your head right off one time. Your salvation lasts for like a quick minute. The Bible says this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Say that with me, not carnal. Once again, not carnal. One more time, not carnal. Look at someone say, they're not carnal. We've got to get this into our spirit today. They're not carnal. What does the word carnal mean? The word carnal means physical, fleshly. They're not man-made. The weapons that we fight, they're not physical. Now, I want to ask this question. Why do you think Paul even had to say this? Why did he actually say, hey, listen, your weapons are not carnal, you know? Why would he even need to tell us that? It's because our first reaction is to go for the carnal weapons first. How many know that's true? Our first reaction is to go for the carnal weapons first. The problem is those physical weapons are no good in a spiritual war. We already said that Ephesians 6 last week, we looked at it and we said, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hold of wickedness in heavenly places. You can't fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. You can't do that. And so, oh, you've got a gift for me. I was going to give me something here. Thank you, my brother. It's unarmed. It's not loaded. This is a water pistol. So he's still flinched, man. This is a water pistol. This is a weapon of sorts. You can load it with water, I think. I was going to fill it up, but I thought, now people are going to probably get in the flesh, man. then I'd see some carnal weapons. Let's get you your face. Think of how ridiculous this is. Imagine you're in the Middle East on a helicopter about to go into battle against some, you know, some mad people. You're there. And they're like, all right, let's get out of it. You jump out of the helicopter. And you see a soldier, and you go up to him, and start scoring him with water in his face. At best, he'd just be amused. Like, what's this sucker, man? Listen, there'll be jihad on you, bruv. Jihad is over. Listen, it's as amusing and as silly as that. You think, boss, you're silly. This is like using physical weapons in a spiritual war. This is how stupid it is, using physical weapons. Do you know how silly to use physical weapons in a spiritual war? It's like trying to fight someone's shadow. Imagine you see their shadow, your enemy's shadow. Ha! And you're stamping on it. You can't do any good. A physical weapon cannot hurt a spirit. Cannot hurt a stronghold. And a physical weapon, we spoke about them. The addictions and how the devil is destroying your marriage and destroying the relationship. Destroying your family. Destroying your Christianity. Destroying your prospects. And the devil is depressing you and oppressing you. Keeping you locked into a dead-end relationship with that guy that's abusing you and beating you. Keeping you in poverty, in a poverty state of mind. Keeping you in that gang, or keeping you in those drugs, or keeping you in so many different things. Can I say to you, a physical weapon will not help you. It would be as foolish as fighting your enemy's shadow or fighting his reflection. Imagine you saw your enemy's reflection in the water and you jump in the water and you're beating it. Ah, ah. And the water is all splashing around and going everywhere. And you're like, yes, yeah, see, I did it. And then the water just goes right back and it's there looking at you. Huh? I thought I destroyed you. You could be, listen, some people, that's how they're living. They just keep jumping in and fighting the reflection in the water. And they keep thinking they're winning and it keeps coming back. You wonder why. Why am I keep struggling in the same thing? Because you are using carnal weapons to fight a spirit which is attacking you. Oh, my days. Think of how the devil is laughing at some people. Oh, my. Because if I was your enemy and I saw you jumping in trying to beat me by destroying my shadow or destroying my reflection, I'd be laughing at you. And then when you finish, I'll just bang you on the head. Keep, you fool. And then I'm going to get you. And you just, are you stupid? That's how the devil is many times. He's defeating you spiritually and you're trying to fight him physically. Because you think your enemy is your husband, your wife, your mom, your son, your daughter, your dad, your boss, the pastor, the Bible study leader. You think your enemy is physical, and so you use physical weapons. Let me give you some of the carnal weapons that people use. First one is arguing. This is the first water pistol. Arguing. Shouting and becoming aggressive. Insulting people. Some of you, that's your water pistol. And you've got it all the time on you, man. All the time. You show it to people. Listen. Listen. You mess with me, I'ma squirt you, man. You know the people that even if you do anything wrong, they're just going to argue with you. They come in like with their face. I'm a bad man. I'll deal with you. I'm a bad woman. Listen, some of you, every problem, arguing, shouting, aggressive, insulting people. Are you not going to learn that nothing is changing? Have you not learned? Nothing is changing. Your marriage is not getting any better. Children are not getting any better. Finances are not getting any better. Job prospects. Listen, you go into work, I'm going to shout and scream. Who's going to promote you? Listen, right, you're shouting and screaming, yeah, going to promote me. Fool. They're looking at their contract thinking, how do we get this person out without having some tribunal on us? They're just going to vex you, keep putting you in a corner. Let's just keep putting them there so they just one day get tired and leave. That's how some people deal with things. That's how some of you deal with every issue. I'm going to go down there and just kick off. That's how it is. You want a house? I'm going to go down to the council. Kick off. You want promotion? I'm going to go to my boss. Kick off. Your relationship's not working? Hey, kick off. Hey, I wouldn't say that, man. Kick off. It's a carnal weapon. You've been kicking off for decades. The next water pistol is man's reasoning. This is your own reasoning. Let's sit down and reason. Knowledge, logic, debating. You know, sometimes there are many people, it's a spirit keeping them bound. The Bible speaks about darkness. They're in darkness. Their eyes are closed. Their ears are blocked. And you're trying to like reason with them. I've reasoned with many people. I've sat down with young men and I'm like, bro, man, this world life, it's not going to work. Your career prospects, you're hurting your family. Listen, it's not, who do you know that's made money like this? And they're like, yeah. They agree with everything I say. Yeah. And then get up and do nothing I say. Because reasoning will not break the spirit. It's a spirit. You sit down with people in church. I've sat down with many women in church and be like, listen, sis, man, you've got a value. Look at you. You're young. You're beautiful. You're intelligent. People like you. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Listen, don't leave church for some guy. Why are you leaving church for that guy? Where is he ever? He does nothing. It's basically, he struggled to take you to KFC. And you're going to leave church? You're going to leave the King of Kings for that? Come on. Are you not worth more? Yes. Is there no more dignity in you? Yes. She agrees. And then we don't see her again. She agreed. Listen, I've witnessed to many people about Jesus. And I've broke down the Bible. The scriptures and Christ and this and that. And the doctrine and salvation and sin. And they're convicted. And I'm telling them. And they agree with me. They agree with me. But they don't get saved. You can win a debate. But that don't mean you won the soul. Because it's a spirit. Am I saying we shouldn't debate? No. You can debate. You can bring your logic. But that is not going to be. That don't break strongholds. The Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. People's talent and abilities. Because people are talented. And we live in a day and age where people are so talented in the church today. People are really talented. You know. And I'm not against, you know, yesterday, I had a good time yesterday. I thought this guy, SOS, He did really well. Why are you laughing? Nah, I'm joking with you. I'm just trying to pretend I knew. And so, yeah, and I thought he was very good. I liked him. I'd never heard of him before. And I liked him, man. And I thought he was good. And I would actually have him back. I'd get him back and do something else, you know, when we have a different event. But so I'm not against, you know, the people that are doing things for Jesus in a different way than maybe what we would do things for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. As long as it's Jesus, I'm cool. And you're not a heretic. But, you know, the danger many times is people rely upon talent. And we were going to have somebody else. Someone who's very talented and has an ability to do great things. Very talented and came highly recommended. But then when we were supposed to get the person, they you know, no one could find them. And then we heard little rumors that this was happening and that was happening. And listen, I want to tell you, I'm not here to badmouth nobody. The Bible says, you know what? You know, be very careful about just trying to put people down. But I will say this much, is that this individual that was supposed to come for us, who's very talented, his talent could not help him when he was in his battle. That's all I'm going to say. That his talent, with all his ability and his talent, when the devil comes in and hits you with some real blows, get away. Talent. I'm talented. Have you heard my bars? Listen to my beats. Do you know I've got albums? The devil just going to intimidate you, man. Shut up. See, is there no wonder why many of us are not experiencing victory if this is all we're using? If we sent all our soldiers to war with this, we'd lose in a day. That would be it, man. We'd lose in a day. And if the church doesn't start to put down their carnal weapons and take up some spiritual weapons. You know why we use carnal weapons? Because carnal weapons take less faith. To use a spiritual weapon takes faith. Let me tell you why. It's because, let's put it like this. Say someone's treating you bad. And you'd be like, listen, man, you don't know who I am. Nobody don't treat me bad. Nobody don't talk to me like that. And you want to put your game face on and go tell them about themselves. And go show them, listen, you may treat these other punks like this, but you ain't going to treat me like that. I mean, you know, that's how we feel sometimes. That's how we come. Let's be honest. I remember one time, a long, long time ago, I stress a long time ago, and I wasn't a pastor, but I remember I was in work one day, and so this woman and this guy, they were swearing and effing and blinding, and it was in the staff room, and I was like, come on, man, it's too much. I was a Christian, been a Christian maybe a few years, not even a few years, maybe a year or so, and I said, listen, do you mind not swearing and shouting like that? And so she kind of went around the corner and with this guy, and they were going, who does he think he is talking to us like that? I pulled out a carnal weapon. I pulled out my water pistol. And I remember, like, thinking, no, I've got to show them, because otherwise they're going to be dealing with me like some punk up in there. And so I remember going there, very aggressive, very, you know, just very silly. I was young. I was, you know, just forgive me. But I just went there and I said, listen, don't talk to me like that. You don't know who I am. If you talk to me like that again, listen, you just don't want to. As soon as I did it, I walked away. I felt so convicted. I felt so convicted. It's almost like I walked away and I saw Jesus' face, just like, son. I felt almost like to cry. I felt like, oh, I've let him down. Because everyone in my work already knew I was a Christian. I'd witnessed to everybody, told everybody I was a Christian. And you know what? I said, how do I fix this? And the Spirit of God said, go back and apologize in front of everybody. Something in me said, listen, man. That's weak. That's weak. They're going to think you're a chump. See, the flesh will always tell you that spirituality is weak. The flesh will tell you, yeah, go down and kick off their door. The Spirit is saying, listen, no. Go put a track through their door. Go put a leaflet through their door, inviting them to church. Now that's weak. See, the flesh says, listen, if you don't start to pull out some carnal weapons, they're going to take this more liberties with you. He will lie to you in your marriage. Listen, bro, you better start showing her who the boss up in there. Because she's going to step all over you. Yeah, I know God said, you know what, love your wife like Christ loved the church, that you're willing to die for her. But listen, you better show her, yeah, I'll die for you, but I'll also deal with you. And people, yeah, listen, every man, you're looking at me like, no, I ain't never thought that. Lie. But what you do is, you show your wife and you love that woman. I don't become aggressive to my wife. My wife is here. You can ask her. I've never become aggressive to her. I'm bigger than her, stronger than her. Yeah, I could dominate her, but I don't do that. It's like, oh, but you know what's going to happen? She's going to take liberties with you, man. She's just going to walk all over. You're going to be henpecked. You're going to be under the thumb. No. Because what I have is spiritual weapons. And if things go, I pray for my wife. God, help that woman, man. There's women here. Listen, I gotta show him. He gonna be taking liberties with me, you know. Cause one minute, yeah, next minute I'll be just being quiet. Next minute he's gonna put his hand on me. Next minute he'll be just, no, sister, come on. It's this submission, submissive wife. See, many times. When you've been at work and you're using the spiritual weapon, the flesh says, this thing is not working. Yeah, it may not work straight away, but it will work. That girl that I argued with, she was like one of these rowdy girls, man. She was mad rowdy. And so even when I went into the office, it was an open plan office, maybe 6, 7, 10 people there. I said, can I speak to you for a moment? And I deliberately did it in front of everybody. I said, look, the way I behaved before was unchristlike. And you know I'm a Christian and I represent Jesus here. And what I did didn't represent Jesus. That was Courtney. I want to apologize and say, listen, will you forgive me? And she went, whatever. That's what she did to me, man. Like, hey, I take it all back. Bring that too. No, I didn't. I just said, okay. Listen, you know what? I left there looking once again into Jesus' face, and he's like, yeah. I'm proud of you, man. And I felt happy. I felt happy. I had a pep in my step, man. I felt happy. And every time I would come to work, I'd say, hi. And she, hi. I wore her down. So before she left, we were like best friends. And when she left, you know, she came. I remember she was leaving. And she says, Courtney, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm nervous about my job. And could you give me some advice? And what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I was counseling her and telling her and showing her, listen, and showing her the peace that I have in Christ. Because, listen, spiritual weapons will work in the end. Spiritual weapons, they may not feel good, but they will work in the end. The Bible says, they are mighty in God. Mighty. This word mighty. And so I I was struggling this week. How do I convey this mightiness? How do I convey this? And I don't know if this is going to work, but I want to try something different. We've got a video. Put this video up. And there's no sound, and so... But this is, I'm going to show you something here. And while it's playing, I'm going to talk. This guy is showing a weapon. This is a weapon. This weapon is called an M134. And this guy's talking. He's saying, look, I'm going to show you this weapon. It's made of this like super light metal. And this is like called a minigun. It's an M134. And so what this weapon does, see it there? That's what it is. This thing ain't no joke. This thing ain't no joke. 3,000 to 5,000 rounds a minute. A minute. The guy said it can fire over 50 rounds a second. So think about this now. 1, 2, 50. Look at that thing, man. That thing ain't no joke. This is what he says, things like this. Think about this now. Look, he's on this helicopter. I want you to think about this. If you was a soldier, listen, I'm not advocating going to war, soldiers, anything. I'm not even saying like the weapon or don't like the weapon. I want to show you something about might in the physical. And then if you was in a battle and they said, listen, we'll give you that or we'll give you this. No brainer. We'll give you that. Or we'll give you this. When this guy's firing it, he said this. He said, this is a game changer on the battlefield. He said, this is the game changer. He said, this thing destroys everything in its path. You ain't even seen it yet. He uses three words. These are the words he uses. He said, this thing is aggressive, intimidating, and dominating. These are the three words he uses. He says, I would not want to be on the wrong side of this. From 1,000 yards, they say, it can destroy things. Remember, I'm not advocating this. What I'm trying to show you is, how do you think about might and power? Remember, would you want, if you was in a battle, do you want that or do you want this? We've seen enough. Just leave it there like that. Just leave it there like that. He says these words, aggressive, intimidating, and dominating. Why have I showed you that? It's because when you see that, you're like, my days, that thing is, my days. In the spiritual realm, we have more than that. He uses the word aggressive. Do you know that in the spiritual realm, when it comes against hell, not people, when it comes against hell, demons, demonic strongholds, that we are to be aggressive? What does the Bible say? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The Bible is saying that God, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not out there arguing with people, fighting physically with people, debating with people, but we need to be aggressive in prayer. We need to understand, listen, I can change things when I get down with God. Not this passive, the devil's. No. Intimidating. This is another word the guy said. He said this thing would intimidate. So when you hear it, 50 rounds within a second. 1, 2, that's 50 bullets. 50. And not just little bullets. bullets that will blow holes like this. He said, yeah, this is intimidating. Jesus goes up to a guy, I spoke about it the other day. A guy has 5,000 demons in him. 5,000 demons in one man. Imagine meeting a man at 5,000. Listen, we'd... No. Jesus walks up to him. He's got 5,000 demons. The Bible says that the demons are begging Jesus. The demons are intimidated by Jesus. Every time you see Jesus on the scene and there's a demon or a devil, they're intimidated by Jesus. Jesus intimidates every demonic spirit, every devil, every lie from hell. Why is it then that so many in the church are intimidated by the devil? Intimidated by problems. You go for a trial and you lose the plot, lose your mind, lose your convictions, lose your faith because of this. Too many are using this when God wants to give you one of these. The Bible says he has all dominion and power. See, he says mighty. You and I have mighty weapons that we can use in our spiritual campaign. And this is what we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks. This is why you do not want to miss church over the next 3 weeks. Because I'm going to explain what are these weapons and how you use them to gain the victory in your life, in your finances, in your relationships, in your marriage, with your children, in your career, in your spirituality, in your mind. He says, mighty in God, not in yourself, not in me. The best you can do is this. He says, these weapons can cut through strongholds. Think about what a stronghold is. He didn't just say, yeah, it will destroy this or destroy that. He specifically said, a mighty in God to destroy strongholds. What that is where the enemy has got in and he's put in all his strength to hold on. This is where many times people get to a point in their Christianity. And this is how it is. They potter along for a while and they keep hitting the same problem. Could be sexual sin. Same problem. It's a stronghold. Could be finances. It's a stronghold. Keep getting the sack. Like some people get sack. Do you know I've never had the sack? I'm 41. Like I've never been sacked. And I'm not the best worker in the world. No. But some people, they just had the sack like it's a full-time job, getting the sack. People that are sick, now I understand you get sick, we all get sick, and you know, people can have a terrible illness, one illness, but when people keep getting different illnesses, every different illness, and it's just like, last week it was your toe, this week it's your ankle, next week it's your knee, then it's going to be your thigh, then it'll be your waist, then it'll be your belly button. It's like, come on, it gets a point. Where it's like, how come every time you start to go for God, every time things start to look up, every time you get a victory, there's this obstacle. Yeah. There's like a stronghold. There's some people coming to church. You can come to church faithfully for 3 months and then you won't be here. And you keep doing it. 3 months, it's like a clock. It's like the devil has given you a 3 months rope. He lets you out for 3 months and then he pulls you back. That's a stronghold. And you can fill in the blanks. There are so many strongholds that people deal with. And the problem is they're trying to fight it with this and nothing is changing. The Bible says, no, do away with that. Do away with that. That thing ain't going to do nothing for nobody. God says, listen, I've got an armory. Get yourself behind one of God's powerful, mighty, intimidating, aggressive, dominating weapons that God wants to give you. And the Bible says it will incinerate, it will shred, it will get rid of, it will pull down, it will lay waste to every stronghold in your mind, in your life, in your health, in your finances, in your family, in your ministry, in your church. The Bible says it's there, but you've got to use it. You've got to use it. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. You've got to get into God. You've got to realize that God will deal with that thing. He will push through that thing. He will crush that thing. He will destroy that thing. You've got to get engaged. You got to pick up your weapon. Some of you here, fear, you need to get behind it. Spray fear, man. Deal with that fear. One time, we all feel a bit of fear, but some people, fear has bound you, man. Go to bed at night, I'm going to die. I'm going to die poor, alone. Nothing's going to work for me. It's fear. You need to deal with that thing, man. Get behind God's weapon and say, listen, no, I'm going to deal with that thing. Some of you, hopelessness. Some of you, temptation. Keep slipping in the same sin. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. But the reality is this. You have a weapon. And if you don't use it, I can't use it for you. As a pastor, I can only do so much. I can only give you so much. I can only tell you so much. I pray for people on a daily basis. Like any normal pastor would pray for his church. I want to see the best for you, man. I want to see you living in victory, claiming every promise that God has for you. But the reality is, what I've got to be is I've got to be like one of those drill sergeants in those boot camps as train you up to be militant. That when you leave here, you don't leave here with that water pistol. We're going to have an altar call today, and we're going to leave some water pistols all in the altars. And when you come down here, I want you to come down there and bring your, you're going to collect your M134. Listen, 50 scriptures in a second. You can pierce the enemy. Deal with him. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. Let's give Jesus the praise.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.